Turuntuset tulee Joonael.
Today we'll talk about color psychology. To introduce the topic, I would like to say that color psychology and colors in branding are very exciting topics for most of brand marketers. And I'm very happy, Fiona, that you can be with us helping to understand the essentials of color psychology. Let's start from the beginning. What is color psychology?
Well, it's really about, for me, as someone that spent 15 or more, actually, years working with entrepreneurs in branding, for me, it's about bringing another tool to branding a business. So for me, it's about using color psychology and the seasonal personalities, which we'll come to in a minute, to really understand the essence of the business, what it's all about, and using that to communicate in an objective and analytical and genuinely powerful way. I think when you're branding a business, particularly a small business, it's easy to get sidetracked into what you like. And obviously what we like changes over time. And if we're not careful, we find ourselves changing our branding every 6 months because our tastes change, and we waste so much time on branding our businesses that we actually don't run them or make any money. And one of the things that I love about color psychology is that it brings another level of objectivity and focus to that branding process. But it also means that if you do it well, you only do it once, and that for me is what's really powerful about it.
What should marketers know about colours?
Well, I think when we think about colour psychology, we always go to this idea that red's aggressive and blue's calming. Have you heard of that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. And I think when we think about colour psychology, we think immediately about using colours to create a mood. But there's actually, and that's what it is, but there's actually a lot more behind it. So the first thing to know about colour psychology is that we have four main seasonal personalities, and they fit with the seasons that certainly you get in England, and I think pretty much broadly in Estonia as well, although more of an extreme way. So each season has its own personality, and understanding what that season's personality means that you can kind of fit that to your brand values. So if we talk about the seasons, I'll give you some examples and then it will start to make a bit more sense. So the spring personality, I think, you know, after this grey, desperate, and I know it's been immensely cold in Estonia, winter.
Mentally cold. Yeah. It's a good phrase.
Not quite that extreme. But we're kind of desperate for a bit of sun, aren't we? And a bit of sign that spring's on its way and things are warming up. So, you know, those first signs of spring, those bright green shoots or those spring blossoms, we all feel quite lifted and inspired, and suddenly there's this energy about the place. And the spring personality is full of that kind of energy forward, that inspiration. It's a very light, clear, bright season. It's quite youthful. So you have things like lambs being born, baby birds, chicks. It's all about new beginnings, spring. So if you had a business that you wanted to communicate was, say, creative or inspirational, or a business that was all about simplicity, then it might be that the spring personality best fitted your business. So you would use colours that reflected the spring personality. So you'd use light, bright, clear colours. So at this point, it doesn't really matter whether you use blue or turquoise or orange or red. What matters is that the colours are light, bright and clear. And you would use shapes that are circular, fonts that were simple in their form, fine lines, and possibly patterns that were quite ditzy. And all of those things would come together to create an energy and a feeling. And what that does is communicate with your client at a subconscious level. So you know how there are some businesses or people or rooms that you walk into that you just instinctively feel at home or you feel a connection. And that's generally because something at a deeper level is resonating with you. And colour psychology is all about doing that, but in an intentional way. So the summer personality is much more refined, graceful, elegant, organised, romantic. It's quite a formal season. So you might be an accountant, you might be a wedding photographer or a wedding planner, but you would want to bring out those elements in your brand. You want to communicate the fact that you were organised or efficient. Colours would be cool, delicate, and muted, and shapes would be flowy. So it's quite a graceful, elegant season, and quality is really key. The autumn personality is warm, intense, muted colours, which I think we're all familiar with, that kind of fall, the intensity of the warm autumn colours. But autumn is a very outdoorsy season. So if your business is connected with nature, or your charity, or your maybe there's a connection with the past with your business, autumn would be a good fit. Autumn personalities are very focused, they're very ambitious, they're not materialistic, they're very down to earth, they're very artisan, organic quite often, real campaigners, they fight for the underdog. And then winter, as you'll know, is a season of extremes. So as a plant, you have to be immensely tough to get through winter. You have those beautiful bright days, which luckily today is in England, but we also have those grey days that go on forever. And in terms of the seasonal personality, everything's about the extreme. So you'd have very top-end, lavish, luxury brands, but you'd also have very grounded, understated, uncompromising brands. Winter's all about the precision. The personalities have the ability to see the big picture, but then drill right down to the detail. Interestingly, winter's the only season that uses black. So colours are cool, they're intense, and they're strong and clear. So you have the really icy tones, and you have black and white as well, really intense, deep, dark purples or greens. So does that give you a bit of an insight into the seasonal personalities?
Absolutely. And it's so interesting. I was kind of listening with fascination. And I wanted to ask, how to make choices? As I understand, there are, in principle, four main choices.
Yeah.
But how much to look at the competitors, or how much to look at the general, what happens in the field when you make a choice?
I think that's a really good question. So I think when you're branding, if you want to brand your business once and brand it well, then the temptation is to just jump on a design program, isn't it, and start designing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, do something beautiful for me, isn't it?
Yeah, unfortunately, that is where we come unstuck, because that's where we design something that's very of the moment and it looks great for 5 minutes until someone else launches a website and we think, oh my goodness, theirs looks so much better than ours. No wonder I'm not winning enough business. I'll better redo it. So what my approach is taking a step back and understanding, first and foremost, before you look at anyone else, what is it that makes your business so special? What is it that makes you stand head and shoulders above everyone else? What is it that inspires you? You know, what is the work that you want to be doing? What are the products that you want to be selling, and who do you want to sell them to? And obviously, in amongst that comes looking at other competitors, but instead of thinking of them as competitors, which obviously they are, I think trying to think in terms of when you're truly unique, when you've got a truly unique business, actually there isn't any competition, because no one can do what you do better than you. And so if you have a client that is looking for a particular approach or a particular product, no one can do that better than you. So for me, it's all about trying to stand out. And that might mean looking completely different to everyone else in the market, because that's what makes you different. It might be looking in the same kind of genre, but just doing it better than everyone else. It's kind of goes back to what is it that you want to be known for?
Didn't make my life very much easier. Can you give me one example, a good story about how to make right choices?
Yeah, I mean, there's before we get onto the story, there's a download on my blog which is free, and it talks you through the process. Which people that have downloaded, more than 4,000 people have downloaded this workbook, and they tell me it's amazing for gaining clarity. So if you haven't done that, I definitely recommend that your listeners do that. In terms of making great choices, I think as business owners, one of the things that's really exciting about running a small business is that we can respond really quickly, can't we? So somebody asks us to do something. If we run a small business, it's easy to go, yeah, do you know what? We'll do it. And before you know it, you've kind of lost touch with what makes you different and what makes you special. And if you're not careful, you're going after every piece of work that's offered to you, not winning very many of them. You start lowering your price and suddenly you're losing your confidence. Have you ever found that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So for me, it's kind of going back to what is it that I really love to do? And actually, I was having a conversation with a client of mine a couple of weeks ago. They make sofas, and we've done some work recently. They want to grow their business from a £3 million turnover to a £10 million turnover. So they're a fairly sizable and immensely successful business anyway. But originally, before we started working together, they felt like they had to be able to design any kind of sofa. That was what made them, you know, that was going to be what made the business grow. And we did lots of work together. We rebranded them and we got them refocused. And actually what we identified was that their unique selling point is designing iconic sofas for brands that are interested in quality. And over time they've worked with that. And what they've realized is that their passion is not just designing iconic pieces, but their passion is actually designing mid-century pieces. And so when they relaunched their website, they included all the sofas that they were passionate about, but they also included some pieces that they felt they should have just to show prospective clients that they were capable of anything. And I spoke to the MD a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the impact the website's had on the business, which has been great, and they're set to definitely come close to their targets. But what he felt was really interesting was that the pieces they put on their website because they felt they needed to weren't the pieces that were selling. It was the pieces that they were passionate about that their clients connected with as well. So that for me is key in making choices, is it's got to be, however big your business is, it's got to be things that you're passionate about and that you do better than anybody else.
Absolutely. But how do you connect this case with personality? What personality did you suggest them to choose, or what personality did they choose?
This business is a winter business, a winter brand. So when you work through, so we looked at lots of different questions, and it all boiled down to what do they want to be known for? And they wanted to be known for being iconic, quality. They wanted to be known for cutting edge design. They were innovative. Their manufacturing process is really robust. They're very precise in their delivery. They have immensely high standards. So all of those words kind of led us to the obvious conclusion that they should be winter. Couldn't be anything else. You know, they're completely uncompromising in terms of their design and in terms of their build quality. So it had to be winter. It couldn't be anything else.
Thank you. Now it's much more clear. I don't, I'm not very sure that I could make the choices myself, but I still understand.
It's such a massive topic. There's loads and loads of tools. So I've written a book called How to Style Your Brand, and that walks you through the process. And that book, combined with, there's sort of 5 or 6 downloads on my website, but the key thing is writing down what you want to be known for. And then I have a download on my website, which is free, which helps you match up the words that you've identified with the seasonal words. So the words that fit the season. And, you know, I run workshops on this for a day, and even that only gives you the absolute essentials of colour psychology. It's such a massive topic. So I think the key thing to remember is when it's all written down, when you're clear on what you want to be known for, actually matching things up to the season becomes quite easy, but you do need to take the time to write them down and then, you know, download that tool because it is free and it becomes much clearer.
We'll link also it to our material so everyone can take a look. But now I would ask also, how much do different target groups matter when using or choosing different colours or their colour personalities?
Okay, so when you talk about target groups, can you just expand on that a bit more?
Let's say if I have business targeted to kids, I don't know, something clothes or toys or something, or if I have business targeted to seniors, or if I have business targeted to teenagers. So are there any difference in making my choices, or should I still look at myself, what I want to do, and then every kind of can use every personality for every single target group that comes to my mind?
No, that would be the worst thing. No, your brand is your brand, so you're not going to change it depending on who you're talking to. So when you're working out in the first place what you want to be known for, one of the key things you have to understand is who's your client and what is it that they value about your business. Now, sometimes what they're buying into is the fact that you are like them. Sometimes what they're buying into is the fact that you're not like them. So have you got Latoya Van in Estonia? It's a lovely wooden toys manufacturer.
Yeah.
They make beautiful wooden toys. Now, their brand is very spring. It's very cute. It's very fun. All really well made, but it's all bright and colourful and fun and sweet. And my daughter, who was 3 at the weekend, has got a whole shelf full of the stuff now. It's gorgeous. And we are buying into the fact that it's cute and clearly designed for kids, obviously with the parents in mind. Whereas if you were looking for a driving instructor, you actually don't want something that's looking young and funky and, you know, all down with the kids. Because what you really want is for your teenage child to be safe when they're learning to drive, and you want them to learn to drive successfully, safely and quickly. So, yes, the market matters, but what really matters is what that market is buying from you. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. But do you mean that all the driving instructors should then use the same personality? Because they want to pretty much show the same attributes.
You quite often find that they will. So you quite often find, for example, that businesses that are in the wedding industry will often be quite often summer, or if they're at the luxury end of the market, they'll quite often be winter. So you won't often find many wedding-related businesses that are autumn or spring, because the summer personality is romantic, graceful, elegant. It's all about quality, and that's often what brides want. Or at the top end, they're looking for a luxury brand. And within that season, you can still stand out a lot. So it's not like everyone's looking the same. But you also have brands and brides who want something totally different, who actually don't want the same old thing that everyone else is going for. And that's where you do find brands that stick out, a bit like the purple cow thing, brands that really want to be quite different. And then you might have a spring photographer. You might have an autumn wedding planner who actually is on a mission to create thoughtful, unpretentious eco weddings, for example.
Very interesting. I'm still amazed.
I can talk about this for hours. It's really hard to kind of explain it all succinctly in 5 minutes because there's so much to talk about with colour.
I do believe. Tell me, where are the biggest mistakes, what you see? What mistakes companies do when choosing the brands? Choosing the colours, sorry.
I think not taking the trouble to think about how they want to come across before they start on the work. So they quite often will work with a designer because they are in their breakfast networking group or because they're a friend of the family, rather than because they are the right fit for their business. And quite often that causes a problem. But even if you're doing it yourself, if you can just take a step back. I think there's something like 12 questions in my planning workbook. If you can just take a couple of hours to think about the answers to those questions, you know, who are your clients? What do they value about what you do? What do you want to be known for? What makes you stand head and shoulders about the competition? What would you do if there was nothing standing in your way? If you can answer those questions first, then choosing colours for your brand becomes easy because it's actually much more analytical and much more objective. It's not about you loving green. I mean, if you love green, put it in somewhere, but you know, use green generally because you want to come across as balanced or calming or refreshing rather than because this week you love green.
You told also that that colors and shades and fonts, and shapes are connected in the personality. What happens if you don't know the rules and you are really taking the shapes from spring and putting them together with the autumn? Is it a good way of differentiation, or is it something that you see that it doesn't make sense or it feels so wrong?
So, combining shapes from one season with colours from another is a really effective way of bringing out the subordinate side of your brand's personality. So what you must do is decide which season your brand is rooted in. And that's where the tones of colours come in. So for spring, you would be using light, bright, clear colours. They'd be quite soft, but they'd still have some punch about them. You can still have a bright red, but it would have a lightness compared to autumn. For summer, you would be using soft, gentle, cool colours, delicate colours. For autumn, they'd be warm, intense, muted. You do still have pale shades in autumn, but they have an intensity and a slight warmth about them. And then winter, you'd be looking for crisp, clear, clean, bright and strong colours. So you have to decide. You have to be one of those seasons. Then quite often people will say, oh, but it doesn't fit neatly into one of those seasons. And that's okay, but you can't have more than two. So you can be a brand that's rooted in winter with a strong spring undertone, which my brand is. You can be rooted in summer with a strong autumn undertone. They don't have to be sort of seasons that are next to each other either. So you can be winter, summer, or spring, autumn. So use those to bring out the extra sides of your personality, but you must keep your colours in one season. If you mix in shapes and patterns, that's a great way of combining seasons. Where it starts to go wrong is when people mix up the colours. And you quite often get that sort of uneasy feeling. So if you've ever seen a brand where they've used black and maybe a soft peachy pink or a pale blue, and it just jars a bit and it makes you feel a bit uneasy, that's because they've put black with it. And if you just toned it back to grey, everything would be harmonious and it would look great again. But it's the mixing of the colours that undermines the season.
So the colors are the dominant, and then the shades and shapes, everything just follows.
Yeah. So get your colors right, and everything else follows.
What are the things that that the kind of, if I get the colors right, what else can go wrong?
With branding or the colors in general?
Let's say the colors in general.
To be honest, as long as you get the colours right, there really isn't very much that will go wrong. As long as you're clear and you're not trying to combine three or four seasons, because the whole point of using colour psychology is it makes you focused and it helps you communicate cohesively and coherently. So as long as you're sticking to one or two seasons, there really isn't very much that will go wrong.
I faced the trouble once in my life, or the discussions about when designing a store, a fashion store, that what usually happens is that the store is like a background, and then you have the clothes with different colors, and every season is different, with different shades. And sometimes you feel that the background of the store, the store walls or windows or whatever, or furniture color, do not fit with the colors of the this season's trend collection. Is this is this a problem for the first? And if it is, how to solve it? Is there any solution? Because we don't want to kind of repaint every single season in order to fit with the clothes.
No. So I think the most powerful things about colour psychology is that if you stick with colours and textures and tones for one season, everything goes. So if you have a fashion brand and we decide that it's winter, that shop would have quite clean textures. So you might have quite stark finishes on your walls. So maybe it's painted brick, maybe it's more of an industrial look. There might be some black in there, there might be some polished concrete. As long as all of your colours on the clothes are always within the winter spectrum, everything will go. So it doesn't matter whether this season's trend is claret, or whether it's coral, or whether it's tangerine, or whether it's neon. It will all work, because it's all from that light, bright, clear, intense colour palette. And if you had an autumn business, you would probably use more organic tones. You might use some roughs on wood, or you might have exposed brick, but you'd probably have some softer, plusher textures. You could use the same trends, but your take on that trend would be different. And for me, that's what's key to any brand, is don't just take a trend and follow it slavishly. Work out what your take is on it. So what is my take on the feathers trend this year, for example? How do we do that in an autumn way? How would we do that in a spring way? And you don't need to think about it in terms of colour psychology. You think about it in terms of your brand. You know, what is your brand's take on it? And for me, that's something the high street shops do really well. I know that if I go into Jigsaw, for example, over here, they'll always have a certain colour palette. If I go to Hobbs or Day Berger and Mickelson's a great example, she always has a great, clear take on the trends and her style, and you know what you're going to get when you go in.
Thank you. It was a good explanation at the end. I understood where did we make a mistake, because we really had the store design in one department and the clothes design in another one.
Yeah.
And both looking different things. One was competing directly with the store designs of the competitor stores. The other one was competing with the clothing designs of the competitors. And it was difficult to kind of get one whole story, but I think it's a very good example about how to get maximum out of the colors.
Thank you. It sounds like as well that people were too busy looking outside in that business rather than inside into what made them special. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yeah, it does.
I think, you know, one of the things we, as people, as human beings, we're attracted to confident people that know what they're about. And we like to buy from brands that know what they're about. We don't like to buy from brands that keep changing their direction. You know, it's exciting to look at a business and think, what are they going to do with this trend, or how are they going to interpret that? And if you're too busy looking at what everyone else is doing and responding to that, it's too easy to lose sight of what makes your business unique, isn't it?
Absolutely. Is there anything, I just wanted to ask that, just let's wrap up the interview. What are the really three main points that no company should do wrong when using colours in the branding?
Well, you asked me to come up with three, and I thought, actually,
there is just one.
There's just
or
one.
30.
Which is work out what you want to be known for and stick to it. Work out how you want your business to come across and use colours that support that. Pick a seasonal personality that gets that across. And don't get sidetracked by what you like. Focus on what's right for your business, your brands, your clients, and communicate that.
I just want to ask one more question about that. You ask people from the street, what is the first association that comes to your mind when I'm telling you the name of the company? And if one of the top answers is a color, for instance, green, should the company be known as an autumn business and being very organic, because this is kind of the natural reflection of the green, or should there be anything else? Or can there be anything else?
So one thing I probably should have made clearer at the start was that every colour apart from black appears in every season.
Okay. But let's say that it's really a company has chosen a tone that the green belongs more to the autumn colours. Let's say it's kind of the warm, intense, really autumn, nice green.
Mm. And so if it's that green, you're saying what?
Yeah, if people just spontaneously tell that this company reflects the colour green.
Mm.
And you understand that this is the colour they think because they understand what the green is.
Mm. And that's what they're using for their brand colours anyway.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I mean, most brand designers and marketers don't know anything about colour psychology. It's a relatively new discipline. So your average person on the street isn't going to be thinking about it in such an analytical way, but subconsciously they'll probably be feeling that company stands for stands for good, stands for being maybe organic, maybe they have a link to the past, but they'll probably get quite a good feeling about that business because of the colour that they've chosen. But I should stress that it has to link with people's experience. You know, colours aren't taken in a vacuum. It has to fit back to what people expect and experience and know about that brand.
Thank you, Fiona.